Well, my goodness, it's Friday. Doesn't that feel just great? Beautiful Montana morning. Welcome to Voices of Montana. It's great to have you join me today. I'm Steve Arviscal, your guest host. Hey, think about this with me. Who would you say is the most influential, connected person that you know? You know, it's someone who is in the know and in the mix on almost everything. They're the kind of the go-to person on all those kind of key issues, maybe in your local community, on a statewide level. Well, I know a guy that fits that description perfectly. It's Todd O'Hare. I call him the, behind his back, the big kahuna of the Montana Chamber of Commerce. And he joins us today on Voices of Montana. We're going to talk about the state of business and our economy here in Montana. We'll talk about data centers. We're going to talk about the chamber's strategic priorities and what I call this odd relationship between business and politics in Montana. All of that coming up on Voices of Montana. Todd O'Hara, president and CEO of the Montana Chamber of Commerce, is joining us, and he is the man that is really taking care of business in Montana. Welcome, Todd.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. This was a very nice introduction. Slightly embellished, but it was really good.
Well, I can do the embellished stuff every once in a while. How's your summer going?
This has been a great summer, right? I've just been able to really enjoy it. And, you know, we don't really get summer in Montana until the 5th of July. And that's about when it hit here, right? It got warm about the 5th of July, and I think since then it's been beautiful. It's been a fabulous summer. Blessed to live in Montana.
Well, thank you for joining us on Voices of Montana. I think we talked last year about this time. I wanted to catch up to you because I just have this sense you've been at your everywhere. I saw you recently here in Billings at a Bureau of Business and Economic Research economic update. We'll talk a little bit about that. But for our audience who may not know you the way I know you, give us a little background. Talk to us about Todd O'Hare, your journey, how you became the president and CEO of the Montana Chamber, and then share a little bit about what is the Montana Chamber, what do you do, what's your purpose, mission, what are you trying to accomplish?
Well, like I suspect most people, right, there's no real clear dotted line between, you know, where you start and where you are today.
True.
Right? And so that's true for me. You know, I grew up on a multi-generational ranch in the Paradise Valley, you know, in between Livingston and Gardner. It's a working cattle ranch. It's still in operation there. My dad's 84 years old, and he's there every single day, horseback in the summer, in the spring, in the fall. Super proud of my background. Montana State University, and then through that, you know, I ended up working in Congressman Rick Hill's office in Washington, D.C., wonderful experience. Ended up in Governor Judy Martz's office for 4 years, and then spent about 15 years working in the coal industry, representing Montana's largest coal mine in the government affairs arena.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, here I am at the head of the Montana Chamber of Commerce, the state's largest business advocacy organization, and I don't know how you connect those sort of dots, but That's kind of the background.
It just happens. I think we connected with each other. I was doing economic development. You were with Cloud Peak at the time, and you were just the voice of energy in that at that time. And then I think a natural transition. All right, let's talk in a broader context about where business is heading in Montana. So let's talk about that today. Where is business in Montana? How are we doing?
Well, this is a pretty exciting time to be in Montana, and I've got a lot of optimism. I'm real bullish on this state and the place that we are today. I look at what's happening throughout the state, how technology is shaping this economy, how we're becoming a much more diversified economy. We're becoming an economy that is not as dependent upon those global commodity cycles that we used to be.
Yeah.
Right? This is really creating some real opportunities throughout all of Montana, and I argue that this is becoming the economy that we've been asking for, that we've been advocating for generations, one that's much more diverse, one that is creating some real opportunities across all spectrums of education and skill set and interest, right? I mean, there's some opportunities for our kids today that didn't exist 20 and 30 years ago, regardless of what their interest might be. So I think this is an exciting time to be in Montana. You know, our business climate is good. The West Coast is doing things, everything in their power to try to drive job creators out of the West Coast. And Montana is one of those states that these business folks in places like Washington and Oregon, for example, that are looking at Montana and saying, I think I can put a business in Montana. I think I need to get out of this regulatory, this tax environment in this state of Washington and Oregon. And Montana seems to want us, seems to have an environment that is welcoming, allows us an opportunity to be able to prosper and thrive in the state of Montana. So there's a lot of excitement, I think, around Montana, something that we've not seen in generations.
So I want you to think about this dynamic, because there was a period of time coming out of COVID when people were migrating to Montana. And then that's kind of leveled itself out a little bit. You see some growth depending on the area you're from, but certainly not at the pace that it was before. I would argue it was important that we had that in-migration, right? Because workforce is going to drive everything. We wanted to have that talent. And businesses that are now looking at Montana are looking at, do we have the people?
Right.
We can work on infrastructure. We can work on other things. Do we have the people that are going to, you know, lead and drive my business? So what's that dynamic look like? Is that people part of the equation, still one of those tough to fix problems, or have we made some progress in having the workforce that is essential for those businesses to be interested in our state?
Well, we did see some growth, you know, immediately following COVID, and it created some pinch points in Montana.
It did.
Housing's an issue in Montana. Really wasn't a big issue. It was pocketed sort of an issue prior to 2020. But we're seeing some of those sort of ramifications of for Montana was a relatively large influx of people rather suddenly. That stabilized, as you said, and I'm with you 100%. I mean, for an economy to grow and to prosper, you know, we have to have a population that grows with it.
Yeah.
It's a lot better to manage an economy that is growing and expanding and growing in population that is one is in decline. And I look back to like the early 1990s, right? And the Montana legislature was conducting studies and analysis on what are we going to do with this demographic bomb that's going to drop on our head when we look ahead 20, 30, 40 years and we see the population, you know, declining? How do you continue to provide critical services and the resources for the people that are here with a population that's declining? So this is a much better sort of issue to manage. I would say that Montana is not different than the other 49 states. We still have a workforce challenge. And that remains the number one headwind that we hear from businesses on a consistent basis. It's like, we just can't find people, regardless of whether it's basic skills coming out of high school or some of those more advanced college sort of degrees. There's a real workforce challenge here. So that continues to be a headwind. It's not unlike, as I said, the other states. It continues to be a challenge for us. But I think some of the things that are happening relative to technology, right, is starting to give us some solutions to some of those workforce challenges, because we're not going to be able to mandate more babies. We're not going to be able to fix some of those sort of challenges, right? So technology is going to have to step in, and it is stepping in to address some of those workforce challenges.
Yeah, our population, the trend may have shifted in terms of that decline that we were worried about in the 90s, but we still have the graying of Montana, yeah. Just like every other state. Look, here I am sitting. I got all this gray hair going on right now. You have a little bit of gray hair.
I'm starting, I know.
So there's that factor too. And so that tail end of the boomers are moving out. And so you got to backfill. Yeah. So that, I think that is a, what I call hard to fix challenge.
Yeah.
That's always going to be there for Montana. Any other hard to fix challenges that you see we got to tackle for business to thrive in Montana?
Yeah, I think one of the ones, and this gets into, you know, our strategic plan and what we're going to be focused on for the next 5 years. I think this energy issue, electricity generation and distribution, is a real challenge for us over the course of the next 5, 10, 15 years. And that's a difficult for us as Montanans to come to grips with, because this has defined us for years.
Yeah.
Right? We're an exporter, right? We export electricity, and we've always had an abundance of electricity in the state of Montana. And suddenly now we're now looking at the picture and saying, man, we've got some real challenges as far as affordable, reliable electricity going into the future. And to solve that is going to require an investment in electricity generation and distribution. And that's a big challenge, right? Because these are investments that you're talking about that are in the hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars. So the barrier to entry is very high, both from a financial standpoint and from a regulatory standpoint, right? To go through the regulatory process to site any sort of new electricity generation, any sort of new distribution system is very, very high. And so that's going to be a big challenge, I think, that we have as a state. Again, that's not something that's different than what we have as a workforce challenge, right? We're sharing this with other states, is that we woke up and said, you know, geez, all the baseload generation that we've retired over the last 10 years now is, you know, as they say, the chickens have come home to roost, and we need to aggressively invest in our future. If we don't have a stable, abundant supply of electricity in Montana, our economy will falter.
I want to come back to that discussion in a bit about energy, because Brian Bird, CEO of Northwestern Energy, was on Voices of Montana with me on Wednesday. We talked about that. We talked about the need to be forward thinking. There's some complications with that. And Brian had something really wise to say about the pace that we move to resolve these problems needs to change. We need to move quicker because things are much more critical. And you have to get so far out ahead of them, because you don't build it next week. It takes years and years to get the infrastructure in place. But we'll come back to that. I think what complicates the energy piece is the whole discussion around data center development. And I'm looking at you, and we both have this grin on our face because, oh my gosh, I was watching national news last night. And so this isn't just a Montana problem. No. Everybody's got an opinion to share about the development of data centers. In my note to you, when I sent you a text, hey, you want to be on Voices of Montana, and I gave you a list, I said, is this data center development going to be a mess or an opportunity? Talk to us generally about how you view that. And then I know as the chamber leader, you've been doing some thoughtful work and educating people about that. So is this a mess or an opportunity?
I think this can be an opportunity. And I think we should look at this through that lens of opportunity. I think it is entirely fair, and I encourage folks to ask these difficult questions about, you know, how are we going to meet our electricity need? How are we going to make sure that we conserve our water resources? How do we ensure that we protect our communities and the integrity of our communities? I think these are legitimate questions that deserve good, solid, hard answers. I also think that we should take yes for an answer. And I think that there is an opportunity here, and that if we look through the lens of scarcity, that Montana only has a finite amount of electricity today, and we have no hope of creating additional electricity in the state of Montana, if that's the lens we look through, then the next conversation we have to start thinking about is what other sort of economic activity do we need to start to limit? Because if there's only so much electricity, how many more hotels can we afford to build in Montana, right? How many more residential homes can we afford to build in Montana if we're dealing with a finite pie? And so I think the opportunity here is that with proper placement, proper work, proper regulatory environment, that we can have data centers that can come into Montana and help us solve those sort of challenges. I've been advocating that it's fair that we go into this issue with our eyes wide open. We need to be very clear about what this presents to Montana. I also think that we need to go in with our minds open, right? And look at what some of these opportunities can be. So I think there's an opportunity. Now, on this electricity generation standpoint here and data centers, one of the things that I think is critical that we need to also understand in this is that there are what we call large load customers in Montana. These are very large industrial sort of facilities that are using large amounts of electricity. So think about the refineries
that exist today.
That are here today, right? Think about your refineries here in Billings and the Stillwater Sabanye mine, right down there around the Obzorki area, right? Those are very large consumers of electricity. If you talk to those folks, they will tell you that they are very concerned about where their electricity is going to come from in the next 5-10 years, because no one's bringing new electricity generation at scale onto the grid. And so they're starting to look at, hey, if a data center comes in and it brings with it its own electricity generation, there is an opportunity for us to partner or benefit our traditional existing industrial base in the state of Montana with the data center. So I think there's some opportunities here. And I'll say it again, like, we need to be eyes wide open, but I also think we need to look at this through the lens of, like, what is the opportunity here for Montana if we do this right and properly?
Well, you're filling your Friday morning with a great conversation on Voices of Montana. Todd O'Hare, president and CEO of the Montana Chamber, is our guest. Todd, always thank you for giving us so much of your time. We were in a heated, we were in a great conversation about data centers, although that does get kind of heated.
It does, yeah.
And boy, you just dive into those tough issues, don't you? But I heard you say something that I think is really important for others to understand. You were at the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, their mid-year kind of economic update, and you carried the dialogue on data centers, and you really provoked the audience's thinking. Hey, think about this, think about that. Yes, there are limitations. Yes, there's things we need to address. But you mentioned, hey, are there gaps in our state policies that maybe we should address that can put the sideboards in place that we can see this new private investment, but do it in a way that protects us, puts the sideboards in place, but also maybe creates opportunities for maybe even additional private investment, or provides assurance for existing businesses that they know their power supply. So talk to us about what those gaps might look like, how that's going to be addressed in the upcoming session.
Well, one of the first things I start out with on this sort of a thought is that, you know, we're in the West, but this is not the Wild West. Montana has a very, very strict regulatory system in place. And if you have any doubts about how strict Montana's regulatory system is, just ask any of our friends in the natural resource arena that have had to go through state permitting, right? It's rigorous, right? And it involves extensive public comment and engagement. There's a whole host of national and state laws related to water and environment and a whole host of things. So I'll start by saying, it's like, we have a robust regulatory system in Montana. So we start with that premise right there. We are open that if there are gaps that it does make sense for us to pursue in the 2027 legislative session, we should pursue them. And some of those may be around ensuring that Montana's residential and existing businesses remain unharmed from electricity prices that may be driven by data center movement, right? I think there's some opportunities here. I don't think that we need to get into this panic situation where we put moratoriums or bans on this sort of development. There's a big uprising throughout the entire country. This is an issue across all 50 states that are concerned about this sort of thing. There are states that are enacting bans and moratoriums on them. There are other states that are welcoming them. And the investment that comes with data centers are massive. And so I'll use this one here outside of Broadview as an example. They're talking that that's a $20 billion investment in the state of Montana. I don't know if this state has ever in our history contemplated an investment of $20 billion. It is a game changer. Importantly, that comes with that is not just, you know, that sort of an investment and all the sort of ancillary sort of jobs and businesses that are created as a result of it, both during construction and afterwards. But there's also a massive property tax component to this. This property outside of Billings here, this data center here, is projected to produce around $35 million in property taxes. Well, $35 million in property taxes, It's a big number, but how do you put that into perspective? How do you put that into context? Is it a big number? I don't know. So I asked Bob Story, who's the head of the Montana Taxpayers Association, to give me like some context to what does $35 million mean. Well, this is what it means. It's the equivalent of Yellowstone County's five largest property taxpayers combined. It is a massive amount of property taxes that would come into this community. I think that's important when you look back on the 2025 legislative session. And that was the legislative session that was consumed by property taxes. Who pays? How much do they pay? How do we shift this thing, right? And that was driven by the fact that over the course of several decades, we've seen a decline in our industrial base in the state of Montana. Like I point out that in 1971, the Anaconda Copper Company was one of the states, if not the state's largest taxpayer, big job creator. They were paying around $11 million in property taxes in 1971. That's equivalent to about $83 million today. Well, the Anaconda Copper Company is long gone, and all the jobs that were provided via the Anaconda Copper Company, they're long gone. But what's not gone is that property tax bill. That property tax bill is being picked up today by the residents of Montana and the businesses that are operating in this state today. In 1991, we had 36 large-scale sawmills operating in the state of Montana. Today, there's fewer than six. And between 1991 and today, we've lost around 4,000 really good-paying jobs in the state of Montana associated with the timber industry. So the jobs are gone, the sawmills are gone, but what's not gone is the big property tax bills that those sawmills were paying. That, again, is being paid by the residents of the state and the businesses that remain. So the shift that we've seen in property taxes and the increase that residents and businesses are feeling in Montana today are a result of the fact that our economy has evolved, it has changed, and our industrial base has shrunk over time. So this, I think, is another one of those sort of opportunities that we should go in and say, is there an opportunity here for Montana? Is this an opportunity for us to be able to spread out property tax costs to residents and businesses across the state of Montana? And again, I keep saying this because, you know, I know this is going to create some consternation with some folks, right? We need to be eyes wide open. We need to look at this sort of thing clear-eyed and through a real sharp sort of a lens. But let's also look for what the opportunity can be here.
So we're going to take a break here in just a second. I appreciate the way you think strategically about these things. It's kind of a yes, and to create the sideboards that need to be in place, but to not lose the opportunity that's in front of us as well. You guys you're in the process of updating some strategic priorities. I know you were working on a 10-year plan. You're now transitioning to a 5-year plan. We don't have a lot of time right now before our break, but talk about moving from a 10-year plan to a 5-year plan. And then when we come back from the break, we want you to list what are those strategic priorities?
Yeah, we're moving from a 10-year sort of planning process to 5 years as we look ahead. And that's largely being dictated by the fact that our economy is evolving and changing so rapidly that 10 years is too long. So we're looking ahead for 5 years. What can we accomplish in the next 5 years that is meaningful for this economy? And then that gives us time at the close of the next 5 years to reevaluate what the economy is doing, what's happening nationally, globally, and then be able to create priorities for the next 5 years. So things are changing rapidly. We need to be able to respond to a rapidly changing environment as well.
Well, this is Steve Armascow. And hey, Tom, I don't know if you're listening, but thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share your microphone on occasion and talk to important people, or who I refer to as the big kahunas on the air today with us on Voices of Montana. Todd O'Hare, president and CEO of the Montana Chamber of Commerce. Todd, we started to scratch the surface a little bit on your planning process, going to a 5-year process. List for us those strategic priorities. You had a 10-year plan. I don't know how many you had. I remember bits and pieces of some of those. But what's your fresh look at your priorities moving forward?
Well, let me start by saying is that, you know, we have a very rigorous process that, you know, we implement to identify what it is that this organization should focus on. And so we've spent about the last 2 years visiting with business leaders, surveying business leaders, CEO roundtables, asking the question that, like, what is it that this organization should focus on to grow Montana's economy, right? Not a particular sector, but just grow the overall economy, kind of raise the tide, if you will, for all businesses in Montana. And so then we take those sort of priorities that they identify for us and say, okay, this is what we're going to focus the next 5 years on. And so over the next 5 years, we're going to be primarily focused on business climate issues, which is, you know, pretty broad, but it's going to be related to taxes and regulations, judicial climate, legal environment. Energy is new for us. 10 years ago, no business leader was talking about energy and specifically electricity generation. They're all talking about it today. They recognize this as both a threat and an opportunity to Montana's economy. Also new to us for the next 5 years is this pillar that we're calling technology and innovation. Montana's technology sector is really pulling the rest of Montana's economy along. In fact, if it were not for the burgeoning technology sector that we have in Montana today, I think Montana's economy would have been flat over the last year, if not declining. But we're seeing such rapid growth in the technology space. It now represents 5% of our GDP. It's creating jobs in about $150,000 to $160,000 a year range. So we've got this, you know, growing sort of our sector. And I think the challenge that we face, and this is related to the data center conversation, is that, you know, how do we put appropriate guardrails on technology without stifling the innovation that comes with it? So that's going to be what we're going to focus on for the next 5 years. We're also going to be focused on workforce development. We touched on that earlier, the importance of having a skilled, trained, and appropriately educated workforce. And the final one, which is clearly a strength of Montana's economy, and that's entrepreneurship, because we are seeing that Montana is consistently one of the top entrepreneurial states. I do believe that entrepreneurship is going to be a leading factor in saving and maintaining our rural communities, because it creates opportunities in both rural and urban Montana. And importantly, entrepreneurship creates wealth. So those are the five areas. There are a lot. But it is gives us a pretty focused lane to operate in. And the reason that it really matters for an organization like the Montana Chamber of Commerce is that I think any issue that comes before a legislative session, you could argue, is a business issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Naming Rodeo Montana State Sport, well, that's clearly a business issue because there's an economic issue relation there. Yeah. And so you can make a case, and we supported that, by the way. But so this defines us in far as where we're going to focus our activities. And why that matters is that in the 2025 legislative session, the Montana Chamber of Commerce was 75% effective on where we took our priorities, which means that the bills that we wanted to see tabled in committee or killed on the floor, we were able to do that. Thought they were hostile business. The bills that we wanted to have the governor sign, he signed. And that's 75% effective. No other organization was as effective as that, especially when you consider how many bills that we engaged in. It was like 250 bills is what we engaged in. So for us, having like a clear lane of what we're going to focus on really allows us to focus our resources and our attention and be most effective on behalf of the business community.
Okay, so business climate, energy, technology and innovation, workforce development, and entrepreneurship.
That's right.
Okay, essential. You get those right,
right,
then we're doing good and we're growing at the pace we need to grow, diverse with a diversified economy. I love that focus. I think that makes sense. Where's the low-hanging fruit? Like, what do you attack first? That's a lot. Where do you see the most immediate great opportunity that you can lean into in these areas and see something happen?
I think the governor's priorities around taxes and lowering taxes have really been what's setting the stage for growth in Montana today. We're going to continue to be supportive of tax reform and lowering taxes in Montana. It's really becoming a magnet for businesses out of state looking at Montana. I'll tell you another one that we're focused on that I think could be one of the most generational sort of improvements to Montana's economy, and that's Public Service Commission reform. I think if we're going to have a vibrant electricity market, with investment in electricity generation and distribution, I think we need to have a regulatory body that is comprised of experts, people that have relevant experience, and not just in electricity, but in investment, in finance, in accounting, in law. Right now, the only criteria to serve on the Montana Public Service Commission is having the best name recognition at the ballot. And I think as we look at the challenge and the opportunity in front of us in the electricity generation space, I think that it's really incumbent upon us to make sure that we have a regulatory body that is comprised of people that have that relevant experience, that can oversee investments in the hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars for our future. And I think that's going to be critical. And if we can do public service commission reform with some real strict sort of criteria on the ability to serve on that regulatory body, I think that it will provide a climate in Montana that will be inducive for investment in electricity generation and distribution space. That's going to be a huge priority for us. It's our big priority going into this legislative session. I think it's probably one of the most important things that we can do if we can get that accomplished.
So reading between the lines, are we moving from an elected public service commission to an appointed commission given the criteria, which I don't disagree with at all? I had the conversation with Brian Bird. He talked about the need for that regulatory process to move at a pace that supports smart business decision-making, which, you know, has to move at the right pace or you lose opportunity. Especially in the energy context, you've got to be out ahead of things. And so, and I added to that conversation, well, we need to move at the right pace. We need to move quick, but we also need to move smart. So I get it. I totally agree. But are we going from, hey, I'm going to run for the Public Service Commission in a partisan election, to, hey, let's just have the legislature and the governor appoint those commissioners? What's that going to look like?
It's the latter, right? That's what we're advocating for, is that you have gubernatorial appointments that come through a legislative session sort of process where you've got a bit of bipartisan sort of vetting, providing recommendations to the governor of slate. The governor then picks that. And I think picks from that slate who serves on the Montana Public Service Commission. We want to remove as much of the politics out of this appointment process as you can, recognizing that, right, you're not going to be able to eliminate it entirely.
No.
But if we can remove as much as we possibly can, I think we can. The Public Service Commission is one of those sort of races that I receive the most phone calls on from friends and family. And it's like, it gets to be election time, and people typically call me and they say, who do I vote for Public Service Commission? The other one is Supreme Court.
I think, yeah, right? The judges.
Like, who do I vote for? I don't know, right? Well, that's not exactly a great way to be able to select individuals that are going to be making decisions on billion-dollar investments. Is there a name I recognize, and who can I call that might tell me how to vote on this thing? It's not. And importantly, is that Montana is one of the few states that remain that doesn't have appointed positions. Most other states are appointed public service commissions. Most other states go down this road. And when you look at how these other states are operating in that sort of a space, there's a lot more regulatory there's a lot more regulatory certainty. There is a connection between risk and what that costs consumers, electrical consumers. There's all these sort of dots that you can connect there. So this is one of those sort of areas that I think that we can see monumental long-term sort of improvement in Montana's economy by getting us a regulatory body in Montana that's comprised of real experts that are making these sort of decisions.
Wow, what a great show we've had on Voices of Montana. Todd O'Hare, Montana Chamber of Commerce, President and CEO, has joined us. Great conversation. I ended our last segment by baiting us a little bit in this discussion about Montana politics. I think things are pretty darn messy right now, politically, both sides. It just seems we've lost a little bit of thoughtfulness about how we're approaching governance and how we're approaching the political process. on both sides of the aisle. It's just, I don't know how else to describe it. It's messy and it's starting, I think, eroding trust. Now, that said, that's a Steve opinion, but that said, Todd, you and your team have to work in the middle of that process to get things done in support of Montana businesses. How do you do that?
Well, there's no doubt this is challenging, right? And we're a nonpartisan organization. You know, we align ourselves with people that have similar sort of views, right, regardless of their party affiliation. And this is going to be a challenging session because, you know, you've got factions and camps with both parties, and we're going to have to figure out ways to navigate that. And I read an article within the last couple of days, and they suggested that we're living in the age of rage. That everybody's really upset, right? And they're just like mad at the world and they're looking for places that they can take that out. And I think the political process that we have in Montana, you know, is taking a lot of that sort of arrows, right? It's like, you know, there's people that are frustrated. You know, we just come out of a primary season and there was a lot of accusations and character slanders and people are inundated with mailers and, right? Radio ads and TV ads.
Spam phone calls.
Yeah, it's just like it's become, you know, really messy, and I think people are frustrated, and we're frustrated with what we see as well in this sort of a process. One of the things that I am concerned about that is related to this is this ballot initiative, I-194. It purports to ban dark money in Montana politics. Really what it's going to do is it's going to silence the Montana business community because the business community is not going to be able to engage in the political process at all. It does nothing for the wealthy individuals. Right? They remain completely unfettered in their ability to fund campaigns or fund ballot initiatives. The business community, if this passes, just simply won't be able to respond to that. And so I can give you an example, and I'll use rodeo as an example because that's near and dear to my heart since my son rides Saddle Bronx, is that it's not hard to imagine that if I-194 passes, that a wealthy animal rights activist could come into the state and say, I'm going to run a ballot initiative to ban rodeo in Montana or to ban certain practices with rodeo, and they'll fund it.
No one's doing that right now, just right. For the record.
That's right. Nobody's doing that right now, right? And the business community, the communities that are supportive of rodeo and see the economic activity that happens with it and all the businesses associated with rodeo would be prevented from arguing of the benefits of rodeo in the state of Montana. So you could take rodeo and put that into any other sort of a business that there is. The other thing that I-194 would prevent is that it would prevent some of the business community getting behind proactive things that are really good for our community. I think that passing a hospital bond in a rural community will become virtually impossible if I-194 passes, because who supports the hospital bonds? It's the hospital, it's the hospital association, and it's the business community that recognizes right, we need a vibrant community center here for accessing health. And if those folks aren't allowed to say, here's the reason why we need to pass a bond in order to expand our hospital a little bit or put certain equipment in our hospital, then there's going to be no one advocating and making the argument for here's the reasons why. So
be leery or get yourself educated on I-194. Yep. Todd, we're running out of time. Man, the time goes by so quick. Give us a 20-second. You got a Big Sky Bright Future Economic Summit coming up in October. Tell us about that very quickly as we wrap things up today.
Yeah, you bet. And we're honored to be able to co-host this with Governor Gianforte. And this year's economic summit will be October 14th and 15th in Bozeman. It's going to be focused on the issue of technology. And so we're going to be touching on a whole variety of issues related to technology and how that affects our economy. We expect that to sell out early because it's very popular and the governor is going to be a participant through the whole thing. So.
Well, thank you for listening to Voices of Montana today. Next week, Tom will be for the Farmers Tour in Culbertson, broadcasting live.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.